So did Strixhaven all the words? Like, we stopped recording and now I can't make words anymore. Great. So Strixhaven almost got you. That's
Well, no, it looks amazing, and yeah. I'd love to have played a. Like, I think the tricky thing with my relationship with Magic right now is I would love to have a relationship where I just went and did pre-release every not Universe of Beyond set.
Which is only three, so there's not that many. Which is only three,
right? It's how it used to be, right? Yeah. The good old days. But it's just like between D&D and Leah and other, like, it's hard to get out. And then when it comes to, like, do I pull the trigger on, re-download or update MTGA and just do a few drafts and now I'm $100 deep. And, like, it's...
Yeah, I
gotcha. Really like drafting.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing some of the drafting there too, and like I went to a pre-release Friday night, and like I thought it was a 3-round pre-release because it started at 6:30. It was a 4-round pre-release, so it didn't. Thank God I went to the one that was like 10 minutes away from my house.
I'm used to 5 rounds.
Well, no, I don't think any of them go any longer than 4 anymore. But yeah, it was like 11:30 by the time that I got home, and Maureen's like, oh, good of you to come home. Like, yeah, I didn't like, and like, you have to, I mean, I don't, they're not wrong for saying it. Like, they do basically, like, well, it's not really pack per win, but it's like, you know, it's effectively pack per win, but you have to report with your last round opponent in order to get any prizing, which is fair because they don't want people just no showing.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was playing through the whole thing and I had somebody no show, so I was like up until the last round, I was up for like, you know, a significant number of packs, or it was like 3. But yeah, the set is very cool, and I like the theming is very cool, and like the Mystical Archive art is beautiful. Like, I got an Ad Nauseam in my pre-release kit, which is
okay.
Yeah, so Ad Nauseam is a very stupid card. It's like 5 mana, and as many times as you like, you can flip the top card of your library and put it into your hand, and then you pay life equal to its casting cost. So you can just draw cards forever. And I said to one opponent, like, I have a very stupid card in here, and if I get it, I'm going to play it regardless of whether it's the right thing to do or not. Because, like, how often do you get to say I cast Ad Nauseam in a pre-release? Like, that's just does not happen. So it's like it's a mythic in that, like, the mythics are like you're 2% to get the mythics off that bonus sheet in the pack. So it's like, okay, if I get it, I'm playing it. Like, it doesn't matter.
But like, it's one of those cards that in Constructed is like the name of the deck.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, it's a game changer in Commander. So like, you can only play it at like certain power levels in Commander because it's that broken.
Yeah. From like late high school years, like maybe 16 till I was like, I don't know, 20 something, 21 ish. Longest time, basically until my like more closer game store opened up, I knew a bunch of people who went to Hiram College, which is like 45 to an hour away, and they did even when the other place opened, they were the only place around that did midnight pre-releases
because that
was the most degen you could be, right? It was like midnight Thursday was the earliest that anyone could run a pre-release because then it's officially Friday. Right. And they would do them at that store. When I was in college, I would drive a crew out there and we would do the midnight release. I wish all the people would have stayed awake because I had to stay awake because I was driving. But for the drive home. But yeah, the midnight releases, and that was like, there was a bunch of people. I want to say it was 4 or 5 rounds, and it was probably, I feel like it was 5 rounds. You would get like a booster box or like a good 30 packs for first place.
Oh yeah, they don't do the, they don't do stuff like that anymore for sure. It's just like four rounds of Swiss, and then like just based on record, you get like sometimes it's pack per win, sometimes it's like, oh, if you get three wins, you get five packs. If you get five wins, you get like seven packs or something like that. But nobody does like, nobody treats it like an actual tournament anymore.
Yeah, I wonder what it would be, because I know that there's been high variance in attendance because some of the Universes Beyond stuff has been like actively bad, limited. But I wonder, like if there was, you know, a sold out pre-release at my local game store, I wonder what the prize support would be.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that like, I didn't get to play at my regular.
He might do store credit is what I think he might do at this point.
Well, I think they probably just do. I mean, because a lot of them just do like four rounds of Swiss and done, like no cutoff, no anything, like no placing. It's just like, you just have your placement after four rounds and you just get prizing based on that. But at least a lot of the ones that I've been to, but like, I didn't get to play at my regular game store because they were sold out within like an hour of the signups going up. They had like 250 person events on Friday and Sunday, and they were both sold out like immediately. The place that I played on Friday night, they had 80 people. And I went back to get the pre-release kit for Bexy on Sunday. I wanted to go after the last one had started, because then I figured they would sell them to me, because as popular as it was, I figured if I went earlier, they might not sell me any because they would be afraid that they wouldn't have any left. And I overheard them while I was looking through some cards there that they had like 200 people just over the three events over the weekend, which is incredible. So like 80 was apparently like the biggest that they'd had in a really long time.
For those unfamiliar, the pre-release kit Wicked is referring to, basically it's six packs sealed. Often there's a promo card thrown in there.
Yeah.
I feel like it varies whether or not you can play with the promo.
You can. You pretty much can consistently. This one is a little bit different because one of the packs is a special seeded pack for each of the five color combinations, which represent like the different like schoolhouses. Because
so you can
this
say,
whole,
yeah. Hey, I want to lean towards this color combo. Yeah. And so they've got a certain number of each of the, you know, five double color combos.
Yeah.
They did that for Ravnica as well. So you need those to participate in the pre-release, but then sometimes they'll just sell the leftovers as like a product, you know, and so that's what you're getting for your product.
Or sometimes they'll do like a, like an at-home pre-release type of thing, right? Where they just, you know, they'll just sell you the kit. But generally, like, if it's not like gangbusters like this one, I think they generally be a lot more likely to do it. Like I've went there to this store that I played at, like, at the last in-universe one, and they wouldn't even sell play boosters until all of their, all the pre-releases were done. Because they were afraid that they weren't going to have enough for either like replacements, because they've been having printing issues with the pre-release kits too. Like where they, like the one, the Lorwyn Eclipse one was when they had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cards in the promo pack, in the promo slot. And they leaked the entire, like most of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles set accidentally because of an error at the printer. But that's why I didn't go over there before the last one was done, because I figured they probably wouldn't sell them to me because they didn't know how many people were gonna be there. But I'm glad that they were doing well. I mean, that's good.
Did you see there was like a, I don't know if scandal is the right word with the TMNT stuff, but apparently one of them has like the wrong weapon?
Oh yeah, where it's like a Psy instead of a Jitte or something.
Yeah. And it was like they
or
were
a Jitte instead of a Psy, something like that. Yeah.
They were concerned about offending a particular population in Japan, I think.
Yeah.
It was just like the most obscure stuff that I'm just like, I feel like no one would have noticed.
Yeah, if they hadn't said anything, yeah.
But like, because you've actively changed it from the series, like what it is in the show.
You know what? Somebody would have noticed because Reddit exists, you know?
Yeah, but like, but the thing is, it's like, they changed it from what it is in the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's also nice to have like a magical school without, you know,
the JKR of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. There is plenty of lesbian representation in the card art, by the way.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, yeah.
Also
lots of horses if that's a thing you're into. For some reason. I don't know why.
Not a horse girl, but yeah. You know, that's cool. A little surprising. Honestly,
like several horses.
I don't associate magic school with like horses.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe there's like riding,
equestrianism,
like,
or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, certain type of very fancy boarding school maybe would have equestrianism. Yeah, we don't necessarily have that here. I appreciate like horses in theory, but they scare me. They're just very large.
Yeah,
you know?
Quite. Yes,
and they smell.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I appreciate my cat. If my cat was big, it would be bad. She's very sweet. She loves me. She would be terrifying as a large cat size. So,
that reminds me, Maureen and I started watching this show on Hulu called Extraordinary. I don't know if either of you have heard of it. It's a British comedy about like a world in which like almost everybody gets superpowers on their 18th birthday. And like
Hero Academia.
effectively, but not set in a school, but like but one of the characters is like a shapeshifter who shapeshifted into a cat and got stuck like that for like 5 years to the point where they just shapeshifted out and then forgot how to not be a cat. And like they end up going to like they find out like where his former owner was, and then they run into this dog that he had like a feud with, and then there's like a veterinarian who's like a Dr. Doolittle who can talk to the animals, and like the dog is like taunting the man who used to be a cat via like, or you know, translating for the dog. It's very funny. We're about halfway through it now. It's like there's like two seasons of it. It's been a very funny show. I'm sad there's only two seasons of it, but it's pretty good. A little bit raunchy, if that's something that, you know. I heard it described as like Fleabag with superpowers, effectively. So.
Okay. I was talking to a student today about like reference and antecedents, which is like, you know, if you have like a pronoun that is a referent to something, it refers to an antecedent that came before.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was the first thing that popped in my mind, I was talking about like, well, you know, there are certain ways that you can make it clear who you're referring to without using the name again, like having it in the right part of the sentence, or just context. And I was like, what you probably shouldn't do is what there was a literary critic who I can't remember the name of. I have to look him up, who called it elegant variation, being sarcastic. And all I could think of was how Harry Potter fanfic does this all the time. So it'll be like, Harry glowered at Snape. The green-eyed boy hated the potions professor. The Gryffindor. And it's like, no. Don't do that. She was like, yeah, my friend is always trying to get me to read this stuff, and I just can't. I definitely was, you know, somebody who enjoyed fanfic as I was growing up. But that was like what popped into my mind of like, don't make me have to remember every single thing about all of these characters. Like, unless it is relevant at this moment that he has green eyes, just leave it out. It's okay. You don't need it. It's definitely not what it used to be among the students, which makes sense.
Well, we should probably find someone to raid.
Someone to raid, which means they need to open up the other thing. Is streaming. Warshack streaming. he's not usually streaming when we are, so. I always get jump scared when I open up like the main page of Twitch because it just auto plays at like full volume.
I also need to just not watch any shorts and then this will stop happening. But like if the last thing you watched on the YouTube app was a short and then you open it again, it's like, and there's no way to turn that off.
Yeah. I put on a Josh Johnson video with when Maureen and I were going to my eye appointment yesterday, and she was driving, so it was on her phone, and she doesn't have YouTube Premium. And I'm like, how do you live like this? Like, it was like, it was like an ad, like literally like a minute and a half into it. And then, of course, Verizon sucks. So like all of like it took like a good 30 to 45 seconds to load the ad every single time. And it's like, I don't know how you live like this. Like, this is awful. Like, I hate how much I'm paying for YouTube Premium, but it just every time that I have to like use not premium, I'm like, fine, I'll pay it. Whatever I have to pay to not have to deal with this is fine.
I spent when I had a period of like we were really, you know, cost cutting and a lot of things, and I canceled YouTube Premium, and a few months in, I was like, oh dear God, this is. I mean, in some ways, it might have been healthier for me because I probably watched less YouTube. But when you factor in that, like, people have sponsorships, they speak ads in their videos that you cannot escape. Like,
and although if you have YouTube Premium, then you can. Skip.
Yes, that's true. That's a recent feature. You can skip ahead, but then also there will
I press rate and they're gone now. Okay, anyway, they're gone.
Then also there will be the ad inserts, and it's like, oh no, this is not okay. And I have considered like, well, to what extent could I decouple myself from YouTube, right? Like a bunch of creators are on Nebula, right? Maybe I should get Nebula, but not all of them, right? And I think this has been what's holding me back from getting something like Nebula, which has Couch of Spikes, Legal Eagle, a whole ton of creators, right? Work together to make Nebula. Except it wouldn't have the Dungeon Tubers, right? And it wouldn't have like these other.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, but if I'm gonna stay on YouTube, why would I?
Yeah, the stuff is there anyway. So why? Yeah,
yeah, it's tough.
Yep.